I do remember what it is that I needed to do, and it's very important because it happens to be the theme of the day. And may I read you some names? Gerald Berkheimer, Todd Brubaker, Tom Duke, Donald Hollenbach, Larry Kiefer, Melvin Smith, Dalton Smith, Carson Dorman, Lem Dressler, Brent Foster, Paul Goss, Lee Jordan, Richard Krebs, Seth Leitzel, Bill Lenhart, Tom Marshall, Edgar Mitch Sr., Edgar Mitch Jr., Marlon Pardo, Don Pick, Mike Root, Ken Samsel, Ernie Sowers, Roger Shively, Paul Shawley, Bob Shawley, Diane Smith, Jim Smith, Donald Stiers, Gene Swartzlander, Mark Troop, Russell Troop, Elwood Troutman, Mike Umble, Nevin Wirt, Kyle Whitaker, John Blaschek, Lewis Campbell, George Haynes, Rob Kerstetter, Ralph Miller, Israel Spence, Earl Bailey, James Persley, Kid Raker, Bob Shoemaker, Isaac Smith, Chick Veneta, Pete Lovejoy, Tony Reidenbach, and Harold Miller. These are the names of individuals who are either currently serving, have served in our armed services, and some are no longer with us. But can we just give them appreciation this morning? Probably say most, if not all of them, I would say that they would downplay it. But that's what this morning and the Veterans Day is about, is remembering the cost of freedom, which is a little bit about what this morning's message is about. During the Battle of the Bulge, or the last major offensive from the Germans during World War II, to stop the Allied forces in their advance towards Germany, a young medic recalls his account of what happened to him that day. As a medic, you were to go where you were needed. I think they're called something different nowadays, because I think my brother-in-law was one. One day we received a radio message that they were desperate for medics in the next town over. The infantry had taken severe punishment, and they'd lost two medical men who'd been shot. My medical officer approached me. "Come on, Pete. We've got to move out." I'd been over talking to a couple of radio operators, my good buddies. I said goodbye to my friends, and I jumped into the Jeep as the driver with Major Harold G. Stacy beside him. And we headed off. But to get to the next town, we had to cross a high point, a very high point. We didn't know at the time, but the Germans had that area pegged with their big 88 guns. As we hit the top of that hill, a gunshot went over us. It landed about 50 feet away at the most. And the next one landed right in front of us. We knew then we had to abandon ship. The major jumped out one side and I dove out the other. On my side of the road, I spotted the slightest gully, and into it I jumped. Known for their heroism, The ability to get things done, being a lifelong learner, loyalty, integrity, strong work ethic. Veterans model and embody something we all should desire. Knowing the cost of freedom and still being able to steward freedom in the face of adversity. Our scripture passage this morning, you may find to be odd. I'm not sure, but let me read it and then you can tell me. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. I'm actually going to read the version that's on my phone. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship to do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me that on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone on to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus, I probably butchered that, to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus and Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord this morning from Timothy. Actually, take that back. I'm doing this a lot today. From Paul to Timothy. In our passage this morning, Paul is telling Timothy to correct, to rebuke, to encourage. There's many false teachers that are prevalent during this time, and it's becoming the task of Timothy to teach against these false teachers. Paul wants Timothy to learn to keep cool when angry and agitated people and circumstances rise up that might cause a person to get angry and agitated. Don't react quickly. Any work or ministry that you undertake, keeping a clear mind in every situation, being morally alert to temptation, resistant to pressure, and vigilant when facing heavy responsibility. You see, Paul was nearing the end of his ministry. He was nearing the end of his life. He could confidently say that he was faithful to his call. Thus he faced death calmly, knowing that he would be rewarded by Christ. Is your life preparing you for death? Do you share Paul's confident expectation of meeting Christ? Paul was virtually alone, having been abandoned by all for different reasons. He was alone. He was lonely. No one came to speak at his trial in defense of him. He was deserted. Paul's a veteran of the gospel. He's a what? Paul's a veteran of the gospel. Along with being tired, I got something brewing in here. So I got my cough drops, and you all are gracious and forgiving. So whenever my voice squeaks out, that's when I need your grace and forgiveness the most. So we know a veteran can mean a former member of the armed services. That's what today's about. We're celebrating our veterans, celebrating that what they've done enables us to be free people. But it can also mean a person of long experience, usually in some occupation or skill. Abandoned, alone. Paul knew that the cost of spiritual freedom, and this helped him look at the situation differently. He knew that what Christ did for him, he needed to be faithful to his call. He could look upon his impending death and be at peace. Paul learned as a veteran of the gospel the best way to show gratitude or thankfulness for spiritual freedom in Christ was to steward, yes, I said the word steward, to steward that freedom well, to fight the good fight, win the race, to be fruitful to the call. Use the word steward today because I think we're in a series with Pastor on stewardship, and that's just not stewardship of our resources, but as what I'm trying to lay out here this morning from God's word is stewarding our freedom. Paul shares in verse 10 that the Demas has deserted him because he loves the things of this world. It appears that Paul's urging Timothy that no matter what comes his way to keep the faith. Surely Timothy was aware of Paul's testimony, that he was once Saul, the person who persecuted Christians, who killed Christians, that he had a Damascus Road experience, encountered Jesus, and now coming to the end of his life, a veteran of the faith. Paul urging Timothy, don't be like, and I'm probably saying his name wrong, Demas. Don't be like him. The world is appealing, but freedom found in Christ is more worth it. Don't be like him. We're provided two freedoms. Number one, freedom in terms of liberty. What has been provided by our veterans and our military. Number two, spiritual freedom through Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul defines our condition so fitting this Veterans Day, 2019. We could be like Paul. We could be thankful for what Christ has done for us and steward it well by becoming veterans of the gospel. So we can come towards the end of our lives and it can be said of us that we fought the fight. We've won the race. We've kept the faith. Or we could be like Demas, who was once a believer, once working with Paul, once participating in Paul's missionary journeys, once a believer and disciple of the faith, abandoned it all for the things of this world. I think that he didn't have a thankful heart for the cost of his spiritual freedom. Two freedoms. Are we good stewards of those two freedoms? Do we really know the cost of freedom? And back to the story of Pete. He knew he had little protection and figured that he was a goner since the Germans were firing from his side. Then something amazing happened. Remember, he jumped out of the Jeep. He saw this gully, and he's in the gully. Something amazing happened. As he lay there, he felt someone pushing on his back, pushing him deeper into the ground and telling him, get down. Rounds 3, 4, 5 landed on the Jeep. There was nothing left. But as I lay in the ditch, he had a sensation of protection. One he'll never forget. When it was over, blood dripped from his nose and his ears. The major was okay. But he, Pete, had a concussion and problems from the shells that shook the ground. It took 5 days of rest before he could resume his duties. And even though he looked fine on the outside, something changed from within. Cost. So many military veterans come home from war and active duty and struggle to live with the effects that war brings. I know this personally with a cousin of mine. PTSD, physical injuries, financial needs, not having support when they come back, and ultimately those who die for our freedom. Do we steward this freedom well? Or do we take advantage of it? Maybe ways of stewarding this freedom well is doing things that this freedom rewards. Voting, being thankful and showing thanks. Not just taking advantage, but participating in it. Cost. Jesus, the Son of God, hung on the cross. Spiritual freedom, the cost so great. And yet the very thing we probably take the most advantage of. How many people in the world are like Demas? They say they are Christian, but they love the things of the world too much, and they really live for the world and not living to be a veteran of the gospel. I think we take advantage of what Jesus has done for us. I, so many times, have taken advantage of what Jesus has done for me. We sometimes struggle with stewarding our spiritual freedom well. If you didn't catch it, back with Pete over in Germany, it wasn't someone pushing Pete down into the gully. It wasn't someone telling Pete to get down. Story after story, there are ways that we hear and we're like, we kind of say, really? But it was God pushing down on Pete in that gully. It was God telling him, get down. Me personally wish I could know the rest of Pete's story. I wonder what God had for him. I wonder what God's plan was for him. This morning I want to share with you six ways of being good stewards of spiritual freedom that's provided for us through Jesus. Be thankful. The big word for thankful is gratitude. Daily thankfulness. I hear it a lot in our prayers when we're gathered together as a people. I think one of the very first ways that we pray is we're thankful to God, and I hear it from you all when you pray. A thankful heart produces the ability to be good stewards. Two is loving. Love your enemies, your neighbors, your family, and your friends. You aren't afraid to love others. You don't withhold love. Being a good steward of the freedom, spiritual freedom that Jesus provides is through loving. It's also through forgiving. I've had to do probably a lot of forgiving of me this morning. Grace is an inevitable quality of any Christ follower. While the rest of the world may show resentment and hold grudges, a legit Christian will always show grace and forgiveness. Fourth way to steward our spiritual freedom is selflessness. It's the opposite of selfishness. You don't think of yourself before others. In fact, you do the complete opposite. Your spirit is wired to put others before your own needs, your own wants, your own desires. Why? Because Jesus himself did the same thing. Jesus himself put the world before himself. You remember, leading up to the cross, Jesus was tempted. Satan said, I give you all this. And every time Jesus was Jesus, and he knew his cause. The fifth way to steward our spiritual freedom, servanthood. You give and serve out of abundance of your heart. Not only is your heart passionate about serving others, but its sole purpose is to serve others as Christ served us. Last one is difficult and tricky. Humility. In a nation that has everything, pride is so easy to sneak in. But pride comes before the fall. If you don't remember, pride itself is what sent Satan to his lonely exile. Humility showcases as a posture that is open to being molded, directed, and empowered by the Spirit of God. You open to being molded and directed and empowered by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Spiritual freedom, the cost of Jesus. Do we steward that well? It's a question for each and every one of us. We have to ask of ourselves, but we also have to ask as a community of faith. This morning, I don't know if I'm known as doing odd or strange things at the end of services. This morning, I would like us all to do something that doesn't require much of you, except you need a hymnal. If everybody would turn to 476. I am not leading us in worship. I will sing in the choir, but I am not leading us in worship. My voice is not the best even this morning. So here's what we're going to do. I read the non-bolded sections, and you as the congregation read the bolded sections. And after we read through this responsive reading from 476, I want to have everybody then turn over to 484. And as a group, as a community of faith, as a family, I would like us to read 484 together after 476. So on this first one, I read the non-bolded and you read the bolded. (clears throat) 476, if everybody's got it. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, (484) is going to function as our prayer of dismissal. As we read these words together, may they be in your heart. This comes from Wesley's covenant prayer, and this will serve as our moment of dismissal at the end of this. We'll all read together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will, put me to doing, put me to suffering, let me be employed by you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low by you, let me have all things, let me have nothing, I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. and the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Go and be good stewards of your freedom.